Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I thank you all for coming today for the Sunday Feast Festival, Sunday Feast Love Festival. We call, and today happens to be Easter. Happy Easter. It's a time of joy and hope for those who are Christians and different backgrounds that Christ has resurrected. And this is their whole philosophy, is that we can actually resurrect from this gross material body. And it's also for a time, I guess there's a lot of history and a lot of debate about Easter as a pagan celebration, so many arguments, but it's a time when they celebrate spring, a new life, and they had a deep appreciation for nature. So we have appreciation for nature also. We call it the divine nature of Krishna. So today we're going to talk a little bit about nature. And we'll go through these different, I have some photographs and some images from some of our books here, which you'll see. But just look at the cloud, look at a simple cloud in nature. And Prabhupada says that we can actually become self-realized through nature. So if you study nature very deeply, you can actually become a self-realized person. So the cloud seems like a very simple and light thing, but a cloud is very powerful. And we'll see throughout this presentation. So just to invoke some auspiciousness at today's class, we'll also say some prayers. May the great and only Lord of auspiciousness, Sri Krishna, who is like a transcendental cloud full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, and who is the Lord of all the demigods, bestow upon us all prosperity and auspiciousness. So I have some sound coming through the computer, but one of our mics is not working, so hopefully you get to hear most of this, because I'm going to read you some of the quotes. So here's another blessing. It says, may all be protected by the winds caused by the Lord's breathing in this sleepy condition. I think what I'll do is take this off. And then you could hear, we got some sound effects. So this is a point, this is a prayer when Lord Kurma actually appeared as a tortoise, and his back was scratched by that massive mountain, Mount Mandara, and then it made him sleepy. So when he was sleepy condition, he was breathing in and out, and by his breathing in and out, the waves imitated, you know, his breathing in and out. So even today, the ocean is imitating that breathing in and out of Lord Kurma. So we want to, how does that relate to us? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami explains that the breathing of the personality of Godhead, it can relieve the itching sensation within the minds of mental speculators, as well as the itching of the material senses of the conditioned souls engaged in sense gratification. So thus, by meditating on the windy breath of Lord Kurma, the tortoise incarnation, we can actually become free from these deficiencies of material existence. And we could find this favorable breeze and we'll find spiritual peace. So, another nice prayer. This is regarding Lord Chaitanya. Offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is compared to a cloud that pours water on fields of grain, which are like devotees suffering due to the shortage of rain. Separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a drought. But when the Lord returns, His presence is like a nectarian rain that falls on all the grains and saves them from perishing. So just see right already we can see how the clouds, what they represent. And we see how they represent the hue of Krishna, like a blackish blue hue of a cloud. But the clouds are very powerful. And they can cause great relief, or they could cause great pain, actually. So today, as you may have guessed, our presentation is going to be on clouds. And as we kind of mentioned here, it's self-realization from nature. And these are the teachings. These are ideas based on the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And a lot of these are from the, as Shavas mentioned, The Light of the Bhagavat. Has anybody ever heard of that book, The Light of the Bhagavat? Has anybody read it? Just a couple people. So you'll all be in for a treat today. It's very nice.
So serious, because we are thinking that we shall live for 7 million of years. So again, let me go slowly. Better utilize the time by sleeping. That is our position. If you have got some time, let me take this opportunity by sleeping, not by reading the book. So if you do not become serious, then it will take many, many years. But we should be serious more than Parikrit Maharaj. Parikrit Maharaj had at least time lived 7 days. But we do not know whether we'll live again 7 minutes. Any moment your heart can fail you. You do not know. You are going to the street just like the two boys are coming. They did not know that they are going to be killed. So our life is so jeopardized. Any moment I can die. That's the fact. If you don't take seriously like that, that any moment I can die. So Parikrit Maharaj.
So this is shows you the purpose of thunder. Sometimes it's like a shock, you know, and it awakens us. So this symbol of thunder can awaken as one's teacher, just like Srila Prabhupada. He wasn't flattering us about the real nature of this material world, how dangerous it is, and how at any moment we can actually leave this place. So we have to become serious about taking up the whole reason and purpose of why we're here. So this is a true spiritual teacher. He practices this virtue of thunder in his teachings, and he doesn't flatter us. So we have to consider that these shocks as punishment from the spiritual teacher, and that would devalue the awakening that he has to offer us. So this shock can be used for growth and development, and it must be very precise and timing in its purpose. And we could see in any of our lives, many of our lives, we've had certain shocks either through nature or through some kind of activity or in our own lives. And they seem, you could look back and you could see they helped us grow. So from The Light of the Bhagavat, it describes this particular illustration that the arrival of clouds accompanied by thunder and flashes of lightning all over the sky provides a picture of life-giving hope covered by deep bluish clouds. The sky appears artificially dressed. The thunder and lightning within the clouds are signs of hope for a new life. So this is the another help of this, the lightning and thunder gives us hope. Because the serene sky, it's limitless and it's expansive. And that's compared to the absolute truth. And the living entities, we're truth manifested in relation with the modes of material nature right now. And it's like these deep bluish clouds. They cover just an insignificant portion of that sky, that unlimited sky. So the living entity is also pure and limitless like the sky. But he becomes covered by this cloud of forgetfulness. So this is the different qualities in the material nature. There's goodness, passion, and ignorance. And we're rumbling here in this mature world thinking, I am this, or that is mine, or it is ours. These are all like rumblings of clouds of ignorance. So this is being separate. So the flash of lightning is like a beam of hope, and it could lead one to real knowledge. And that's compared to the mode of goodness. So here's another slide about the scorching heat of the sun. It evaporates water from the seas, rivers, lakes, and reservoirs. And there's little water anywhere. The people become thirsty and always look overhead for rain. But in despair, yet just at the right moment, torrents of rain begin to fall everywhere in the land, even on the hard stones, and the land becomes overflooded. So you could see how scorched the land becomes. And Prabhupada uses the analogy, it's like the government. They excise taxes from the citizens, and they become dry. But just at the right time, the government, if they're honest and they're righteous, then they would distribute all this in the form of different grains and different types of things for the citizens to live. So Prabhupada explains there, and he quotes a verse from the Bhagavad Gita from the third chapter. Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anasambhavaha yagnad bhavati parjanyo yagnakarma samudbhavaha. That people are suffering in the mature world only on account of their own folly. And this is what that folly is that we are not practicing or performing yajñas, sacrifices to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we perform these yajñas to satisfy Krishna, then Prabhupada explains that automatically everyone will become God conscious, the citizens and the leaders of the society. And in that way, people will be happy. They'll be automatically obedient and honest. So we can see another, the citizens are looking up for rain or looking up, they're suffering like that. So just at the right time, when everyone is, as it described in that verse, attracted by electricity throughout the sky and driven by forceful winds, clouds gradually cover the surface of the earth to satisfy the needy people by supplying water, which is the sustenance of their life. The clouds bestow rains upon man as the mercy of the Lord, who is always kind to the needy living beings. So this is Krishna. He's so kind. As described here, it goes on the stones or the ocean. It covers the entire earth. Krishna is so kind that even despite one's gross disobedience, he still looks after our maintenance. So this is Krishna. And this is a nice illustration describing how after heavy rain showers, the fields and forests in all directions appear green and healthy. Thus they resemble a man who has undergone severe austerities for some material gain and has achieved his end. For such a man is strong, hardy, and good-looking. So we can see the rain is brought from the cloud, and after it nourishes the land, everything becomes very nice-looking. It's like a temporary show, Prabhupada describes. But it will not last. Actually, it's temporary. And it's like people performing austerities for some material gain. But it's temporary. So here's a nice illustration about during the rainy season. The evening in the rainy season is dark all around. There's no sight of the twinkling stars on the horizon or the pleasing moon. They are covered by clouds, and the insignificant glowworms become prominent in the absence of the luminaries in the sky. So just as there's different changes in the year, there's the fall, the summer, and the winter, and the spring. So there's also changes in this cosmic world. And these changes are called yugas or periods. So in this age we're in, it's a dark age. It's like a winter age, and it's very dark. And real knowledge and teachers become covered. So when they are, these fireflies, they seem to be prominent with their own mental speculative philosophies, their own concoctions like that. So that's the lack of proper guidance in the age of Kali. So here's during the rainy season, we see many frogs. So this is the light of the Bhagavad describes that in this age of godless civilization, the sages of world-recognized religious sects who believe in God must come out of their secluded places and preach the science of God, the supreme will, to the people in general. Hindus, Muslims, Christians, and members of the other sects that have convincing faith in the authority of God must not sit idly now and silently watch the rapid growth of godless civilization. There is the supreme will of God, and no nation or society can live in peace and prosperity without acceptance of this vital truth. So the frogs represent like the brahmacharis and the devotees going out and preaching in this rainy, dark season. They automatically start croaking like the frogs, but they're preaching very nicely the Krishna consciousness philosophy. So in the evening, the rainy season's dark all around. And this is what happened. That's what happened on the last slide. It's dark and these fireflies come out. So, but after that, it gets very colorful. We get a rainy season. And the light of the Bhagavat says that a rich man displays his opulence in various colorful ways. He has a good residential bungalow with sufficient property and a well-trimmed garland. The bungalow is decorated with up-to-date furniture and carpets. There are motor cars with dazzling polish and a radio set receiving and broadcasting colorful news and melodious songs. All these captivate the proprietor as though he were a dreamland of his own creation. So you can see in nature, as it gets nourished from the rain, all these beautiful flowers and things look very attractive, and we're very attracted to them. Just like we're attracted to the things, the possessions that we have in this world. But we must understand that it's temporary in this material world. So here, just as a living being attains a transcendentally attractive form by rendering service to Lord Hari, similarly, in all the inhabitants of the land and water assume beautiful forms by taking advantage of the newly fallen water. So Prabhupada describes this, how we have practical experience of this with the students of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Before they became devotees, they were dirty looking. And although they had very natural, beautiful personal features, but due to having no information of Krishna consciousness, they appeared dirty and wretched. But since they have taken a Krishna consciousness, their health improved, you know, they're following the rules and regulations, their bodily luster, you know, increased. And then when they're dressed in saffron cloth and tilak on their foreheads and beads in their hands and on their necks, then they look exactly like if they're from Vaikuntha. So this is the very nourishment, the real nourishment, is coming from these transcendental activities of Krishna consciousness. So in the rainy season, when the rivers swell like this, it's described to be like a person who's not advanced in Krishna consciousness, who doesn't have a spiritual master or guide, he may be agitated by the senses impulse. The impulse of the senses. And this is what it's like, these great waves coming from the ocean or the rivers. So it's very important how Prabhupada writes that it's very, it's like a must, he describes, that one must fix himself at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master who's a representative of God. And in that way, we won't be carried away by the agitations of the senses. So here we see the mountains. They're actually being struck by torrents of rain during the rainy season. But they're not even shaken. Just as those whose hearts are dedicated to the transcendental personality of Godhead, they're never disturbed or even harassed by great misfortune. So this is the power of a cloud. You can see it's amazing. You know, we just found out this morning, my wife was telling me about how in Mauritius there was this huge cloud that circled the mountain there, and it caused a flash flood. And it's so powerful. Just to give you an indication, we think that it's just something floating in the sky. But just to give you how powerful that is, that within a few minutes, the water was up to people's ankles. And then they were so worried that they ran to the underground parking garages to remove their cars. But within 3 minutes, the water was higher than the people. In fact, those underground parking garages were filled with water. So this is the power of a cloud. But if a devotee, if for someone, you know, these things happen in nature. But if those who are dedicated to the transcendental personality of Godhead, they never become disturbed when they're harassed by great misfortune like this. Even a devotee, he should see adverse conditions as the mercy of the Lord. And in that way, he becomes completely eligible to enter into the spiritual world. You know, it's so powerful that there was buses and cars floating, and cars were just stacked up on top of each other like that. So this is the power of nature. It's Krishna's divine energy. So in the rainy season, sometimes the roads, they're not frequently used, and they become covered with long grasses. And thus it becomes very difficult to see the road. Similarly, in this age, the transcendental scriptures are not properly studied by the brahmanas. Being covered by the effects of time, the scriptures are practically lost. And it becomes very difficult to understand or follow them. So you can see the path, and it's described how the path is exactly like a brahmana who's not accustomed to studying the Vedic literatures and practicing Krishna consciousness. So he becomes, what does he become covered with? These long grasses of illusion. And not only grasses, but as we described, you know, it's like these beautiful flowers even come out, plants and fruits. We become attracted to these things. If we're not regularly reading, you know, and understanding Krishna consciousness, what will happen is we'll forget our spiritual life and we'll succumb to illusion. So this is the path. It should be treaded again and again and again. And in that way it becomes clear and easy to see, so we don't become lost and distracted. But, you know, in the midst of this thunderous, cloudy sky, sometimes you see there appears a rainbow. And you see the rainbow, it doesn't have any string. And its appearance is compared to the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His servants in the material atmosphere. So you can see this beautiful bow, its beautiful colors, but it doesn't have a string. And this string represents the modes of material nature that bind us here, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. But the Supreme Personality is not affected by these strings. He's not bound. But the devotees, if they actually take up Krishna consciousness and they get in touch with this beautiful rainbow, then they themselves will become free from these knots, these strings tied in material nature. And we may think that the rainbows don't appear. They do appear. This is one here. Just appeared right in Hollywood. So this is a rainbow is available even now in this cloudy, dark age of Kali. And the rainbow is huge. It can encompass everyone. Huge cities, you know, the world. And here's a rainbow that just appeared right outside the temple here the other day. It's a double rainbow right here. I try to avoid the telephone poles in the buildings. That's why it's cut. But it was actually a full rainbow. It's very nice. So what is this rainbow? It's the activities brought here to us so that we can take part in this Krishna conscious activities in a very colorful way. As we can see, we just had a recent festival, a Krishna conscious festival. It's very colorful. And look at all these young people coming and engaging and chanting and dancing in Krishna's holy names. So it's very, very colorful, see. Krishna consciousness and spiritual life is not dry and boring, where you just, you know, go and hide and sit in the cave. It's very active. You can go out in nature and study and learn, and we can see. So how many of you were there? A few of you? This is the kind of fun you can have in this rainbow of Krishna consciousness. This is MC Yogi. He's a rapper and a yoga teacher, and now he's a crowd surfer. So this is the activities that are taking place around the world. This was just here in Los Angeles recently. So at night, we can see by the grace of the moonlight. You can barely see. There's a moon there. We see in the rainy season, the moving clouds, they reflect the moonlight. They make the moon appear to be moving. And this is called illusion. The spirit soul, the living being, is the root of the activities of the material body. But because of illusion, the spirit soul remains covered and he identifies, you know, with this. He appears to think that he is actually the one that's moving matter. But actually matter is just moving and the soul is just experiencing that. So in that way, it's showing us how, and you can see here, seeing how the moon, as the clouds are moving, it seems to appear to be moving. So in the same way, we identify with these bodies and we think, oh, this is me. I'm moving around. I'm doing this. I'm the doer. But actually, everything is being carried out by nature. So when the clouds appear in the sky, the peacocks begin to dance in ecstasy as a sincere soul becomes overwhelmed with joy on the appearance of a saint in his house. So this is actually some, that's Vrindavan sounds. The peacocks in Vrindavan and the birds. So this is the peacocks. See, when the cloud appears, the peacock dances in joy because he's so happy to see a sincere soul or a saint appear in his house or in his town. So this is the duty of the sages and the saints, to go from door to door and enlighten the householders in spiritual knowledge, which is householder life, they say, is compared to a dark well. And in a dark well, the frog, it can't see the free light of the open sky. And what happens is it becomes so dark that the householder, it's like his soul is being killed. So therefore, once you see the light of spiritual vision, and we have experience of that, just like the other day we had a saintly devotee come and visit us in Los Angeles, Dravida Prabhu. And all the devotees are very blissful and happy to hear. They call him the Nectar Man because he has all kinds of nectar verses and nectar slokas and enlightens us about Krishna consciousness and teaching us the Bhagavad, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's a nice verse that's described here. This is from the Vedas. It's, and they describe this. A lot of devotees chant this when they do sacrifices. You hear Rabindranath chant this when they do the sacrifices. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Param Sada Pashanti Surayo Deviva Chakshur Tatam Tadvi Pasho Vipanyavo Jagrim Saha Samindante Vishnu Yat Paramam Padam. So just as the rays of the sun in the sky are extended to the mundane vision, so in the same way, the wise and learned devotees always see the Supreme Lord, abode of Lord Vishnu. And because those highly and praiseworthy spiritually awake brahmanas are able to see the spiritual world, they're also able to reveal the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu. That's from the Rig Veda. So this is the spiritual world. It's, the material world is considered to be like one little cloud in the spiritual world. And all of God's creation, the material world is only one quarter. And the whole spiritual world is three quarters of his creation. So we could imagine, you know, how great and vast is the spiritual world. So here shows a picture of Krishna and his devotees, Krishna and Balaram, and how they engage in serving him, offering him food. And there's a nice verse here that talks about this. The Lord is never hungry, nor does he need to fill his stomach. He's complete in himself. Yet he always mercifully eats the foods offered by his devotees in sincere affection. So this is what happened. The coward boys, they brought simple foods from their home, and they offered it to Krishna. So in the same way, the devotees can also offer nice foods in their homes to Krishna and engage in devotional service. Just fruits, flowers, leaves, water, like that, he can accept. So here's a nice verse. O goddess of Raja, when Krishna is enjoying himself with Balaram on the mountain slopes, playfully wearing a flower garland on the top of his head, he engladdens all with the resonant vibrations of his flute. Thus he delights the entire world. At that time, the nearby cloud, afraid of offending a great personality, thunders very gently in accompaniment. The cloud showers flowers onto his dear friend Krishna and shades him from the sun like an umbrella. So you can see in the spiritual world, everything is actually conscious, even the clouds and the hills. They're all living beings. They're all conscious like that. So this is the last verse we'll read here together. And this is the cloud of Krishna's pastimes, how it's drenching the 14 worlds with a shower of nectar. But unfortunately, when that cloud appeared, a whirlwind arose and blew it away from me. Being unable to see the cloud, the chataka bird in my eyes is almost dead from thirst. So this is an idea of how we can become self-realized from nature, or from, as Prabhupada describes, self-realization through sound. And just see, just by studying the clouds and seeing how the clouds relate to nature and how they relate to Krishna, how we can become self-realized. So I'd like to give some credit to the Unfortunately, the other mic wasn't working, so we couldn't hear the background music or some of the other sound effects. But the background music is by Sarvatma Prabhu at sarvatma.com. That's where I got that. He has some free, nice bhajans you could download. And those beautiful color reproductions that you saw, they were done by Madame Lee. She did 48 paintings. I only went through a few of the paintings because it would have taken a lot longer to complete this. But she did these in less than a year's time, and she was actually ill health and very elderly person. And her eyesight was even failing, and yet she was able to, you know, describe Prabhupada's poetic descriptions of the 10th canto, the autumn season of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which you can also read in the Krishna book. But the Light of the Bhagavat is a special edition that Prabhupada used especially for the Chinese people, because they very much appreciate nature, and they like to look into nature to understand how things work and to become realized, actually. So if we like to go more deeply into this philosophy on the Light of the Bhagavat, you can check out the books at the book table there in front of the temple, and check it out. So this Krishna consciousness movement, it's a boon to human society. And as Srila Prabhupada said, we should take it very seriously and utilize this human form of life to understand it and to be happy. So thank you very much for your kind attention. And if anyone has any comments or questions, they can bring them now if you like. Hare Krishna. Jaya. So any comments or questions? Anyone? Okay, the feast is being served. Enjoy. Thank you. Hare Krishna.